Good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in, logging in, or whatever the correct term is. Tonight, the third of Iyar, is the fifth yahrzeit of Moreno Rabbeinu, Arav Agon, Atzadik, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livroche. Rav Lichtenstein, as most of you know, was an imposing and towering figure as a Talmud Chacham of the First Order, Rosh Hashiva of the First Order, an intellect of the First Order, who had a profound impact on many, many people. I was privileged myself to be a Talmud of his in his yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, yeshiva at Har Etzion, where he spent the better part of his adult life. Before that, before going to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1970s, he was Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kollel at the Yeshiva Zvon Yisrochon at BYU, but then he went to Eretz Yisrael. I was a Talmud. I had the chus to be a Talmud of his in his shir in Yeshiva Har Etzion in the late 1970s, and to have had a warm relationship with him and a close relationship with him beyond that point. And tonight, as I said, is his fifth yahrzeit. Again, he was a very important figure in terms of leadership. Of what we call, I guess, what some would call the modern Orthodox community, the YU community. He was a voice for that community, as well as for the so-called Dati Lumi, the parallel community in Eretz Yisrael. And his absence still leaves a void. The purpose of this evening is not to deliver a hesped, nor is it my place to deliver a hesped. At the time when he passed away, I was privileged to deliver a hesped. Everyone wants to hear that or see it can speak to me privately. But tonight I thought we'd engage in something which I think he would certainly want us to do, Leilui Nishmaso, and that is to involve ourselves in Talmud Torah, which of course was his major task and his first love and really what everything else revolved around in terms of his life. And I apologize in advance. We've muted everybody. I'm not going to stop for questions during the course of the presentation. Afterwards, if anyone'd like to speak to me privately, I'll stay on or people can contact me. I'd be happy to discuss things further. What I would like to do this evening is, given the difficult contemporary situation we're in, is take a look at a presentation that Rav Lichtenstein once gave, a paper that he presented on the topic of suffering, response to suffering. This was actually presented in a paper some 25 years ago, not in connection, to the best of my knowledge, with any particular event or any particular series of events. At Yeshiva University, they had something called the Orthodox Forum. And in 1995, the topic of the Orthodox Forum was Jewish perspectives on the experience of suffering. And in that connection, Lichtenstein presented a paper, which was subsequently published a few years later by Yeshiva University. And eventually, it was published in a collection of Lichtenstein's essays in a book called Leaves of Faith, The World of Jewish Living, Volume 2. And that's where this presentation I'm going to share with you this evening comes from. None of this is my own. All of the Bekiyas, all of the breadth of knowledge, which Lichtenstein was known for, was his. I didn't really add anything of my own, just a couple of things for clarity purposes maybe, but by and large, all the Maor HaMakomos that are here that we'll see are from him. We will post the Maor HaMakomos. I organized them and printed them, you know, in order that you can follow, but you don't need to. It really depends on whether you'd like to or not. If it helps you, if it helps you understand it, fine. If it doesn't, it's also fine. And I'm privileged to participate in this tribute to Leilui Nishmaso. I hope I accurately represent what he talked about. When I was planning this talk, I found out that by Shlomo Zuckier, whose family and parents daven in our shul here in Teaneck, he gave a talk on this very subject sometime a couple of days ago. I don't know exactly which day. I think Wednesday night or Thursday night this past week. And he put together a different type of a collection of Maor HaMakomos, really gleaning from different presentations of Lichtenstein on the subject of suffering. And I'm sure he'd be happy to share his material with you. Well, I'm sure it was worthwhile. But I'm going to present it again, this particular talk. As I said, it comes found in the book, Leaves of Faith, The World of Jewish Living, Volume 2. It's chapter 5. It's called The Duties of the Heart and Response to Suffering. Again, not focusing on any particular one event or series of events, either personal or communal, but it gives us some insight into what Rav Lichtenstein's and Cholavacha held about how we should view suffering or consider suffering. Perhaps in a contemporary situation as well, what we can take home, and it's certainly going to be food for thought. Rav Lichtenstein begins by pointing out, and it's we'll post the Maor HaMakomos if we can get him up. Hopefully we can. The Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, discusses what happened on the very first day of creation. what was there on the first day of creation. I think people can go to the share screen and see the Maamar Kamos if you wish. On the very first day of creation, the Gemara breaks down hour by hour what happened in the 12 hours of the day. And it says on what the, in the third hour, for example, is when Adam Rishon's body was put together, Revius, Nizuk Abo Neshama, his Neshama came in the fourth hour. And then he stood up, and later on, he was commanded not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That was in the ninth hour. In the tenth hour, Sarach, he made a mistake. He made did the Avera and was judged in the 11th hour and driven out in the 12th hour. So if Lichtenstein says, suffering is part of the human condition, literally from day one, as the Gemara presents it. So suffering, man suffered. In Lichtenstein's words, give or take a few hours, in Chazal's chronology, the history of suffering is coeval with man himself. Now, one of the major questions that comes up with regard to suffering, of course, is a question of why there is suffering. That is not the topic of this shiur. We know that Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu himself asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu for an understanding of that. That's in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisis and Shmos Perek Laman Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, when Moshe said, Hodien in Ars Rachecha, he wanted to understand God's ways. So the Gemara Brachas and Zayin Amud Aleph from the third source that you have on the screen, if you want to follow it, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, why is it that there's such a thing called Tzadik Viralo, Rosh Vitovlo, good people suffer, righteous, and bad people prosper, and so on. And we know as well, that's exactly Rashi explains it, right? That's why is it Tzadik Viralo, Rosh Vitovlo, and so on. According to the Ramban, that's one of the themes of the book of Sefer Koheles. It's in the Ramban's introduction, his parish in Koheles. Of course, that's the theme of the book of Eov. So that's an important question, a question of theodicy, which has troubled Jewish and non-Jewish philosophers alike for quite a long time. But that's not the issue that Rav Lichtenstein is exploring in this essay, or we in this year, this evening. It's not we're really focusing in the here and now. We're interested in the reality, the fact there is suffering. Why and how? Okay, we can analyze it philosophically some other time. But we know that there is suffering, and the question is, how do we respond to suffering? Rav Lichtenstein was quick to point that it's not just a matter of the response, because the response is what happens afterwards, but also how you feel when, okay? Not only how you feel afterwards, but what you feel when there is suffering. So Rav Lichtenstein begins by pointing out that how a person will experience suffering is a function of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to begin with. And he notes, for example, the Chovos Halavavos and Shar Yud, Shar Avas Hashem in the Psicha, writes that everything he writes, that's the last chapter in the Sefer Chovos Halavavos, the last unit, he says everything which he's been talking about in that entire Sefer up until that point was really to get to the issue of Avas Hashem. And not everything is a madreg, everything is a step to get to Avas Hashem. And how, the question we have to ask ourselves is, how are we doing in terms of our Avas Hashem, our relationship, our loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And how we do it, our Avas Hashem, will impact the response to suffering. So in Rav Lichtenstein's words, in this essay, writes, clearly, however, the extent to which we have discharged our task conscientiously and creatively will significantly affect how suffering will be received if and when it comes. Enthralled by Avas Hashem, awed by Yiras Hashem, charged by Amunah, and suffused with Bitachon, an individual, steeled and illuminated, faces calamity quite differently from a vacuous colleague. And this, again, anterior to response at the plane of the ab initio experience. That's typical of Lichtenstein's language, but the idea is that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Avas Hashem impacts our suffering. And we know, and if we think about this, we know this, the psukim in the beginning of Kriya Shema, in source number 6, Vashanan, right, Dvarim Perek Vav, Psukim Dalan, Hey Shema Yisrael, etc., and the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Pasukei V'Havtas Hashem, and it says, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Mdech, B'chol Maldech, and Rashi in the Chumash explains, U'V'chol Nafshecha, what do you mean, love Hashem with all your nefesh, source 7, Afilu no telus Nafshecha, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he's, talk about suffering, he's taking your life away. And b'chol ma'odecha means, among other things, Rashi says, b'chol mida u'mida shemode l'cha, whatever measure he meets out to you, bein b'mida tov or bein b'mida poronos, whether something good or something that involves suffering. And Rashi, of course, didn't make that up. It's like a Mishnah. In Brachas Nundarim at Aleph in Source 8, the Mishnah says, b'chol nafshecha, afilu notos nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the face of suffering, even in the face of great tragedy. This is the Mishnah in Brachas, Midos Medudos, Rashi explains, and so on. And of course, the great exemplar of this type of behavior is the great Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara later in Brachas and Samach Aleph from Beis tells the story. We all know. We know it from the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av. We know it from the Eil Ezker on Yom Kippur in Musaf. Right, Bishar, when he took Rabbi Akiva out, so they were scraping him with an iron comb, and he was mekabel olav olmachus shamayim. And his talmidim couldn't believe it. They said, "What's going on? How can you be mekabel olmachus shamayim at this time?" And he said, "Omar lehem kol yomai ha'isi mitzdar al aposik debachol nafshcha afino no tels nishmascha." The Gemara says in Brachas Samach Aleph Beis, "My entire life, I wondered would I be able to fulfill this pasuk, and now I have the opportunity. I certainly have to fulfill it." And that's how Rabbi Akiva passed away, as we all know, being mekabel olav hashamayim, as Rashi says, was writing Kriya Shema, and the Malachim complained, "Is this the reward? Zu Torah v'zu Schara? Is this the reward? He should have died directly from you." Fine, but that's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva himself, before he underwent that ultimate test, the final moments of his life, he's quoted in the Sifrei and Vaschan and Piskei Lamed Beis in 12, Rabbi Akiva Omer. He says, right, if a person has to be, a person is ready to give up and accept a Kadosh Baruch Hu, love a Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol mida u'mida shumod erchar. Rabbi Akiva not only made the statement, but of course he lived it and ultimately died it as well. And he quotes other psukim that others besides the Torah says this, in Tehillim, in Halel, Perikuf Tezayim, Pasuk Yudim, Zekos Yeshua Sesa, Uvashem HaShem Erko, and Tzara v'gyon yagon emtza, even when Tzara and yagon, even when suffering and pain befall me, but I'll call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, Eov, Parak Aleph Pasuk, Chaf Aleph, and Eov in 14, Hashem Nosan, Hashem Lokach, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach, Hashem gives, Hashem takes away. And so, one issue of Ava means, relates to our suffering, because we have to be ready to suffer the ultimate out of our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not the only aspect of Ava that touches on the issue of suffering or in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on its own. There is a tshuva from the Netziver of Aaron, quotes Tshuva's Meshiv Dover, Chelik Aleph, Simon Mem Dal, where he says, really, there are two things. There are two aspects to Ava. One is Sheyim Sarguv of an Avsho, in 15. Right? One is to give up your life, yes, but there's a second one, the fourth line towards the end there. Pirish Hasheni, Shey Dovek B'machshavto, V'chtshuka L'hasig Ruach HaKodesh. A person has to want to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not at the time of death, when he's being tortured to death, Rabbi Akiva, but when he's alive. A person's relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such, he's had that drive to love HaKadosh Baruch. And that's what it means, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. And the truth is, the Rambam mentions both, as Nesiv points out. Yisorei HaTorah, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, he says, afilu mokum sakonas nefoshas, even if your life's at stake, you can't violate certain averes, you have to give up your life, v'chol nafshecha, afilu notos nafshecha. And in Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisorei HaTorah, Halacha Aleph 17, he writes in general, hakel hanichbar hanora hazeh, mitzvah la'avo l'yiro, so, right, we have to love and fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Lichtenstein said we can really add at least four other things to this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his point is that the more we're able to fulfill these lofty ideals, the different our response or our sense or relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face of suffering will be. So for example, in Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hey, it says in 18, Ki cholas ahava ani, I'm lovesick. And the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, talks about the love that a person has to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a young man, a young woman, who their souls are bound together. They can't imagine one being without the other. And again, you read the poetic words of the Rambam. I'm not going to read it now. But the Rambam concludes, 19, he ends Hilchos Teshuvah by saying, B'chol Shir HaShirim, Mashal Hu L'Inyan Zeh, the entire Megillah Shir HaShirim we just read on Pesach is a mashal to this idea. So there's a notion of the constant consuming passion that has to define our love for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's also the way we behave, the Kiddush Hashem, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses what does it mean be ahavta Hashem Elokecha, she'ei shem shamayim is aheva yodcha. Your behavior should lead others to want to love our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara gives an example. Again, we're not going to read it inside to save time, but the Gemara gives an example of somebody who is learned and he involves himself with Talmid Chachamim and so on, and he behaves beautifully and he interacts benachasim habrios, and people look at them and say, that person, wow. That was Lichtenstein himself, by the way. You saw the person, the refinement of character, what a gentleman, what a fine and refined person he and other people like that are. You can't help but say, wow, blessed is the God who is a God of such a person, such a people, and so on and so forth. It's wonderful. And that's the pasuk In Yeshaya, Vayomer Li, Hashem said, Li Avdi Ato Yisrael, Asher B'cha Espo'er. I'm glorified through your behavior, through what you do. So that's another aspect of Avas Hashem. These are things we work on, right? That love-sick relation, not easy to have it. But that's what Avas Hashem means. It means glorifying Hashem with our behavior. The Sifrei ties it into the issue of Kir V'chokim. In Parshas Chanan Dvarim Piskel Lamed Beis 23, V'hav Tashem Lokecha. Again, all these things are learned from Yahavta. We should be like Avram Avinu. And we know what Avram Avinu, right? That's a nefesh asher asu b'charan when they came in the beginning of Lech Lecha. Parakut Beis Pasuk Hey, Avram and Sarah took the nefesh, the people that they made. What do you mean the people that they made? How do you make people? Right? So Rashi tells us in 25, right? They people at Shechnison Tachas Kanfei Ashkina, they brought people under the wing of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avram Megayres Hanoshim, Sarah Megayres Hanoshim, and so on. Through their behavior, they were able to, that's what the Sifrei says, the behavior they were able to influence others. And finally, and perhaps most in the most encompassing fashion, is that which the Sifrei says with regards to Pasuk and Parshas Ekev in the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, Perek Yalav Pasuk Gimel, where it says La'avos Hashem Elokechem, grounding the totality of Avodas Hashem in love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't learn and we don't get involved in mitzvahs, as Rashi says there in Ekev, and not Pasuk, Perek Yalav Pasuk Gimel, the second parsha of Shema, La'avos Hashem 27. We don't do it so I can become wealthy or I can become get an honorific title and so on. Everything should be done out of Avo. And again, the Rashi got that from the Sifrei in Piskei Mem Aleph in 28. Kol shatem osim lotu osim elame Avo. And so what Rav Lichtenstein is driving at here, and the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud Halacha Daled, everything which we do should be done out of a sense of love. And and the Rabban mentions it as well. And in his parish of Eschana, in the first paragraph of Shema, Parag Vav Pasuk Hey, I read to you again what Rav Lichtenstein said in explaining this. Does anyone imagine that this complex will barely influence response to suffering? Is it conceivable that the thirsting soul, aroused by passion or contemplation, will react to catastrophe no differently from the flaccid and the placid? Will a loving spirit's beatific joy leave no imprint in anticipation of crisis? Can one's yearning for eternity effect no change in one's perspective upon the temporal? Shall the egoist and the altruist, religiously speaking, share the same response to divinely inflicted calamity? Has consistent commitment to loving submissiveness no lasting and pervasive effect? If one has dedicated himself to inculcating Avas Hashem in others, and the Sifrei's phrase like Avram your father and so on, will not the emulation of that paragon of love extend to how one experiences tribulation? So what Lichtenstein is saying here is that a person's taking in or dealing with suffering is a function of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, when he defines how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, in Hilchos Torah 31, you have to have a thirst. You look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wondrous deeds, and you see how great he is, how small you are, and you have a thirst for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you calculate the things he did with his finger. And so the next page, 32, it says, Tzoman Avshalakim L'Kelchai, right? Perek Mem Beis of Til and Pasuk Gimel. My soul thirsts for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, What am I compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then 33, Tilim Perek Ches, Ma Enosh Kisis Kireno. Right, well, what is man? These are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with his finger. And so when a person contemplates that and he's able to drive himself to have that love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's certainly going to impact how he deals with suffering in the temporal world. That plus the notion of what we call Devekus. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, Uladov Gabo, cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do you cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi says, the Rambam says like that also means cleaving to the Talmud Chachamim. That's not what the Ramban says. Ramban over there in that Pasuk in Parshas Ekev and 36, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, Uladov Gabo, Shetichol Hadveka Loma, Shezocher Hashem Ahavoso Tomid. I think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. If I'm a parent, let's say a new mother, and now for the first time, the mother, Bezer will be able to do it again soon, the mother drops the child off at school and so on and so forth, so she goes back to work for the first time after having the baby. It could be a father too. I'm going to that now. Whatever it is, whoever parent is taking care. Does that mean now that the mother goes to work, the father goes to work, they forgot all about the baby? They're not thinking about the baby anymore? Of course not. The baby's always in their mind. Your children are always in your mind. Even when you're doing something else, that's how it's to be with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Ava of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, that does not mean that there aren't situations of suffering. We can't pretend that bad things don't happen. Indeed, the Gemara is not insensitive to this. The Gemara is aware of even little things being nuisances that cause them Yisurin. Gemara Erchin Tezan Rebbe 37, Arhechon Tachlis Yisurin. What are some examples of Yisurin? So the Gemara gives examples, you know, you bought a new jacket and you put it on and suddenly it doesn't fit. You've been in isolation for the last 6 weeks. So you put on 25 pounds and now suddenly the suit you wore before doesn't fit anymore. So it's annoying because a brand new suit. Right, you gotten it for Pesach, and it doesn't fit. That's annoying. Another Amora says, well, you want to pour yourself a glass of iced tea and pour hot tea instead, right? Or you reach into your pocket, you wanted to take out three coins instead, you took only 2 coins. These are little things in the plane of things, okay? But that's the idea. All of these things, even the big things, if one has a relation with a Kodesh Baruch Hu on a certain level, even bigger things are little things as well. In fact, Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that Rambam Hilchos Deis Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin 39 talks about the prohibition to exact revenge. And he says, you know, perhaps not in the way we would expect. He said the reason you don't exact revenge, sof kol sof, is because it's of no value. And he says, nevertheless, the importance attached to a temporal value and hence the dismay engendered by its loss is patently a function of one's total spiritual context. When you lose something in a certain type of suffering, well, it's because of perhaps the exaggerated importance you placed upon it. And obviously, it depends on the nature of the suffering, on what the issue is. And he quotes this Rambam, and he says, from a purely moral standpoint, the explanation is disappointing. The injunction, he said, as a religious affirmation, however, the statement expresses a basic tenet and its implications for evaluating the impact of chovos olos upon response to suffering are self-evident. In other words, the idea is that if a person can separate himself from certain things in this world, then certain suffering will be less. The chovos halavos writes in Shar Avas Hashem, in that same psicha in Shar Yud in Source 40, he said that's why he put Shar HaPrishus, the shower of separating, of pulling yourself a little bit away from the temporal world, okay, that leads to Avas Hashem, that leads to Avas HaBorei. And the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva writes it as well, and Perek Yud Halacha Vav, Rav Aaron pointed out, that the way to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to think about it all the time, to have, you know, to the greater understanding, the greater knowledge, that brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban says, it cautions us in his Hakdama to the Torah Sa'adam in 42. The Ramban cautions, that doesn't mean we ignore the needs of this world, right? On the one hand, La'asos kol yeshuvu sholom efes, basohu. On the other hand, im kozehu tov ma'od. We don't divorce ourselves completely from this world, but it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of perspective. What are the things that are truly important? What are the things that are not truly important? And Rav Lichtenstein said, when Yirmiyahu HaNavi sang, Perek Tazayin Pasuk Yud Tes, Hashem uzi uma'uzi umanusu biyom tzara. On the day of my anguish, Hashem is my strength. The relationship with Hashem can offset the tzara. So that's one theme that he develops in this essay, that a person's loving relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can impact and should impact how he reacts to suffering on whatever the level. Obviously, there are certain tragedies and certain forms of suffering which overtake, which are beyond, which, you know, even a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take away from much, or certainly certain aspects of suffering a person can turn out to be able to tolerate, okay, can tolerate if he has this relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second thing that Lichtenstein pointed to is the notion of suffering being impetus for tshuva and the need for tshuva. The Pasuk says in Parshat Chana, Perek Dalet, the laning on Tisha B'Av morning, we say, Uvikashtem Mishom, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Kof Tes and Dvarim, Uvikashtem Mishom Es Hashem Elokecha, you'll seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Lamed Batzar Lecha, Umtzaucha Kol HaDvarim Ha'ele, when you're suffering, when all these bad things that are described in that Parsha and other Parshas happen, then you'll call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, the Laws of Fast Days, writes in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, 45, when a tzara comes, what do? You turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will help the tzara go away. And the Rambam writes in Halakha Gimel, very strong language, he writes, do not ever say that whatever happens and goes wrong, it's just happenstance, it's just a coincidence, it just happened, it's miminaga olam, that's the way the ball bounces, that's the way the cookie crumbles, that's the way things are, and that's it, there's nothing we do about it, it's random. No. The Rambam calls that Derech HaZorius. Okay, this is a vicious approach. And he quotes Psukim in the Tochacha and Bechukosai, Vayikra Par Chavav, Psukim Chavzayin and Chavches. If we operate in HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'alechlem Imi Bikeri, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, in a manner that reflects it just happenstance, then that's anything to deal with us as well. Now, Rav Lichtenstein pointed out, the statement that I just read from the Rambam is made with respect to public calamity, to which it relates particularly, but the basic motif that disaster should be attributed to divine intervention rather than to quote-unquote natural extremes, causal law, or indeterminate chance applies to personal suffering as well. So what Rav Lichtenstein is saying here, as I understand it, is that nothing is, it's not chance, it's not coincidence. We have to understand and accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan when he's doing this. We know the Gemara tells in Brachas, Lamed Gimel Beis, Amar Chanina, Kovid Shemaim Chutz Mir Shemaim. Everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Rashi points out over there in Brachas, Lamed Gimel Beis, Zivam Asa Kovid Shemaim, how tall a person will be, how wealthy a person will be, how wise, how this, how that, that's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your religiosity will not be in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything else to the point that the same Rabbi Chanina on Dav Zayin and Beis in Chulin 49 says, Ein Adam Nokef Etzbo Milmata Elim Ken Maskris and Olav Mamale. You don't bang your finger or stub your toe here unless it's been announced and it's been so decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this does not, or Lichtenstein caution, tell us that therefore we have to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be angry. That's foolishness. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Perek Yotesh, Pasuk Gimel 51, Ivelis Odom Tesalev Darko Vel Hashem, Yizaf Lieber, of Lichtenstein, mastery of Tanakh and Psukim, just that he was able to call, just astounding. He said that the foolishness of a person, you know, twists his ways, and then he begins to fret and complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather a person should look, what can I do to change it? What can I do that I can maybe prevent this suffering from getting worse or make it go away altogether? Again, in the Hakdama to the Torah, so Adam, the Ramban writes in 52, Al tachshu ki atzoros harabos haros habos lechem mikra lechem. Don't think everything is a coincidence and happenstance and it doesn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how he explains the psukim in Megillas Echa, which I printed on the next page, Paragimel Echa, Miza Amar, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, so that's Lamed Zayin, Miza Amar, 53, Miza Amar Batei, Hashem Lo Tziva, did anything happen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command? Mipi Elyon Lo Sei Tearos V'Tov, that he really raises the question, can we say that it did not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Ma Yisonein Odom Achai Geber Al Chatov, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so a person should now look and see what caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do this. And therefore, Pasuk Mem, Nach Beso Drochenem Anach Korven Oshuva Ar Hashem, we should turn and investigate our ways and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nisal Avavenu will daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get back to davening later. So a person who suffers may have been sent a message, so to speak, a divine message by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he needs to search his ways. And that's an idea of suffering as well, a response to suffering as well. You know, the Gemara has in Brachas of Samach Amud Beis, the Gemara says that sometimes, of course, calamity, what appears to be calamity, can end up being good, and not even in the long run, even in the short run. The Gemara tells another story about Rabbi Akiva in 54. I'm not going to read inside, but many people saw that Rabbi Akiva was traveling. Remember the story, Rabbi Akiva was traveling in the woods, and you know, he had some things with him, and he had an animal with him, and a chicken with him, and so on and so forth, and a fire, and he lost everything. He lost everything. And was very dejected by the fact they had nothing until he found out that there were bandits in the area, he could have gotten kidnapped and so on, right? Maybe in this world, things will turn out better. Maybe not in this world, maybe in the next world. Okay, had he been spotted and seen with the candle, or the animal made noise, or the donkey had brayed, or the chicken had cock-a-doodle-dooed, he would have been caught and so on. And the truth is, the Maharal writes in 57, Nesivas Olam, Nesiv Avas Hashem, Perek Aleph, he says, actually, any evil that comes is really because of the person, not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu channels what it is to the individual, and based on what the individual merits. The Rav Lichtenstein writes, he says, the key, however, remains acceptance. Ante facto means before the event happens. The central tradition of Yadus gives every license to fight off impending disaster. But post facto, it urges acknowledgement as an expression of the divine will of the very affliction to which the most heroic resistance previously had been sanctioned. And it was before the most heroic resistance, now we accept it. And it's interesting, a fascinating Gemara Bava Kamma that he quotes The Gemara, it's a daunting Gemara. Gemara talks about Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda's daughter died, and someone didn't want to, one of the other Amara didn't want to be Menachem Avil by him because he said he doesn't like the attitude. It's almost like a blasphemous attitude, you know, a saying that, with nothing we could have done about it, implying that, I would have done something about it, and so on. In other words, it's an imposing demand that the Gemara placed that implies that it were possible to do something, they would have done it. No, after the fact, you have to accept that this is the way it is and not talk about what, you know, we say in English, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, that's not what it is. And that's a din that appears in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Avelos. In Siman Shin, I involve Sif Beis, there are more rights than 60. But Al Yomar Adam La'Avel, a person should never tell an Avel something like, Malacha La'Sos, Kiev Shulchanos, what can you do? You can't change anything. You can't change anything. Implying that, if you only change it, I'd change it. No, that's not what you say. You have to accept this is what Kosh Baruch Hu goes there. It's not a matter of you changing it or not changing it. And so the Gemara says in general on Daf Hayam and Aleph and Brachas 61, Amar Rav Avitema, Rav Chista, Imroa Adam Shisurin, Bonlov Yafash Pesh Bemasav. If a person experiences suffering, he sees that tragedies are befalling him and so on, so he should investigate his ways. Shenema, and that's the Pasuk we had earlier in Echa, in Paragimel Pasuk Mem, Nach Pesod Rachena Venachkora, Venashuvar Hashem. If you search your ways, mefasves velo motzi, taka couldn't find anything that made you deserving of this. So yisla bebitl Torah. Okay, maybe he didn't do anything wrong, but there's certain things he did right. He didn't do right either. Maybe those bitl Torah. And the Gemara quotes Psukim that I printed on the next page. Right? It says Ashrei agever asher tiasrenu ka perk tzadi dalad pasuk yudbeis in Tehillim. It's one of the Moshe Rabbeinu capitolo. Ashrei agever asher tiasrenu ka umitoras chosalam denu. Right? Maybe it was the event of the Avera of not enough Talmud Torah. And the Ramban broadens it, not just Talmud Torah. Ramban in the Torah, Sodom and Shar Gemul, writes in 64, it's not just Bittul Torah, but anything. Yisle Surim, Bebitule Mitzvahs Hasei, She'enam Izdaris Bohen. Maybe I can't find any Averas. I was a good person. I didn't eat treif, and I didn't eat chametz on Pesach, and I didn't eat on Yom Kippur. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal anything. So what is it? Yeah, but maybe there were positive things that you didn't do. And that's also counted under the pasuk says in Shlach Perek Tezvav pasuk on Aleph Dvar Hashem Boza. That's belittling making fun of or denigrating the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dvar Hashem Boza. And that's the Rambam writes in regards to Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Halach Yud Gimel. Anyone who has the opportunity to learn and instead waste time with Hevle HaOlam, so that's Boza Dvar Hashem. But as I said before, Ramban extends it to any other mitzvahs I say as well. And so these are all things that suffering sometimes is designed to send us a message that we should be inspired to do tshuva. And that's what the pasuk says in Parshas Vayelech, in Devarim Perek Laman Alek, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Eventually we will realize that all these bad things happen, there'll be an awareness, Al ki ein elokai bekirbi mitzvah naros ha'ilah. Because Baruch Hu will hide his face, as Rashi says, Kemosha in a rub, it's our us, I'll pretend I don't see this suffering. The Ramban says, this is not the real vidui, it's not the full confession, but it's a step. It's hirur v'charata. It's hirur v'charata. It's an impetus. The person begins to think about doing tshuva. And therefore, of course, the amount, quote-unquote, of tshuva you have to do may relate to the amount of suffering. Right? How much do you have to repair? And we've discussed actually on Shabbos Shuvah a couple of years ago in the past, there are two different types of tshuva. Lichtenstein talks about a little bit. Okay, he says there's tshuva from, like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Paraglam, Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kim Beshuv Roshom Midarko, a person should go away from a certain, as tshuva is moving away from something, tshuva is going away and leaving, and at the same time, it's going towards Shuva Yisrael, a pasuk of Hosea, the famous pasuk, Perek Yedalad, pasuk Chaf, also a famous pasuk, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, towards. So it's not just moving away from; it's moving towards something. All of that is part of the tshuva as well. Now, after saying all of this, what Lichtenstein said, I fully recognize the problematical character of this presentation. Preaching the gospel of the uses of adversity sounds at best idealistically utopian and at worst glibly insensitive, right? I mean, you know, it's not so bad. It's a good message. We should improve our ways. And, suffering can be good. It can be positive. Look at how Rabbi Akiva got saved. Yeah. But again, it could be utopian, idealistically utopian, or worse, globally insensitive. Emphasize the normative or positive aspects of response to suffering may convey a sense that profound human tragedy is being dispassionately and facilely dismissed. And therefore, he says, that's true. Okay, he says this is a response. However, he writes, the significance the Yadus ascribes to physical and psychological experience confers genuine import upon mundane suffering. Hence, our response to others' pain as a concrete human reality is tempered accordingly. In other words, at the end of the day, it's true, okay? But there are tragedies and there are tragedies. Again, as I mentioned before, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes punishes, right, when there doesn't seem to be a reason, and a person should be able even to rejoice. That's what the Sifrei says in Rosh Chanan Piskel Lamed Bei 72. Od Yadam Sameach B'Yisurin Yosef Natova. Sometimes you should be happier with punishment and suffering than you are with good, because you have to. It's the cost analysis. So later on, you're paying in cheaper currency. You're paying in this world, and you get something better in Olam Haba. Hard to relate to that, but there's something else as well. Really, three things the Lichtenstein pointed out that are alluded to in this Sifrei, based on the Pesukim. You have a Pesuk in Mishnah Gimel Yud Beis 73. Ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts somebody he loves. Okay, and a pasuk in Chumash, even stranger, parakhes advarim pasuk, hey, ki kasher yaser ish espino, Hashem elokecham yasreka. Just like a parent afflicts his child, Kadosh Baruch Hu afflicts you, right? Now, wait a minute, what's going on? What parent afflicts his child? Well, one second. There are really three things. First of all, there's the notion of that Yisurin are positive because it brings about forgiveness. Number two, it brings about that bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Medrash concludes there in 72, there are certain things which we got only through Yisurin. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba, all that comes through Yisurin. So again, that is a Jewish concept that yes, suffering can have a positive as well. Of course, that doesn't make it more palatable or easier to tolerate when the suffering is great. And the truth is, the Medrash Tilim, okay, the Medrash Shochar Tov in Perek Vav Pasuk Beis and Gimel of Tilim says Hashem al babcha sochenev al bachamas yosreini. The Medrash says, yeah, I know all about the fact that it says, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes those he loves. Never mind, don't punish me. You know, that's how the Gemara says in Brochas Hayamid Beis. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was once sick, and Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him. And he said, Chaviven alecha yisurin, you like this punishment? Amalei lo hein velo scharin. I'll do without the punishment. I'll do without the reward. I know there's a great reward in store. Never mind, right? Many, even great people, right? Nabi Yochanan himself said it later. Lo hein velo scharin. In other words, I'm Michael, right? I understand all philosophically about how wonderful Yisurin can be. I'm Michael, okay? But the fact is that if it does happen, it should motivate a person to move to a better spiritual level. And that's Yisurin Shel Ava. It talks about not taking away Tefillah and Torah. I'm not going to go through those couple of sources now, but I think Morris, that same Brochus, Warren Brochus of Hamid Bays and the Pesukim that I printed here. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, as I say, afflicts those he loves the most in this world to give them a bigger reward in the world to come. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Nun Hamad Aleph, an interesting machlokas, Omer of Ami, Ein Misa Belochei, Ben Yisurim Belo Avon. Just as nobody dies without sin, there is no punishment, there's no suffering without some sort of sin as well. And that's a machlokas, because the Gemara on the next page, I only printed part of it, concluded, Shema Minah, Yesh Misa Belochei, Yesh Misa Yisurim Belo Avon. Maybe some people did die without an Avera, and that's a discussion in its own right. And again, there are psukim. Okay, a nefesh achatas, he somos yecheskel perik yeches pasukav, proves that you have to sin to die, and the pasuk in perik pay test of tilim yolamid gimel says upokarati b'shevet pishon regam avonim, I'll punish their sins with the stick and their iniquities with beatings and so on and so forth. Well, the conclusion is that perhaps there is misa without chait, but there is not Yisurin, it looks like, without chait. That's how Tosos points out. The Gemara's conclusion seems to be you can have Misa without chait, but not Yisurin. And the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in Chela Gimel Perek Yed Zayin, and the Ramban in the Shaar Gmul again, 87 or 88, both seem to subscribe to the fact that they don't have Yisurin without some sort of chait. And therefore, sometimes we need punishment to expiate and to forgive. So the Ramban writes in the Shaar Gmul in 89, Kishain Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Okay, when there's no Beis Hamikdash, Hashem Mishalech Aleim Yisur, and He sends punishments so we can wipe away our averus. We don't have karbonos. And again, if that's not it, then every once in a while, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will smite somebody who he does out of a sense of love. Again, just sometimes out of a parent. Okay, a parent does something. I mentioned before, and I've used this example in the past, a parent teaching a child how to walk, right? The child takes four steps and he falls on his face. So the parent doesn't pick him up and cuddle him. He moves him further away. And the child comes and the father moves back. Father moves back. Father moves back. By falling down, you can get up as well. That's the idea. So that's a second theme of suffering, that it should engender tshuva and improving one's spiritual plane. The third and final major theme that Rav Lichtenstein touched upon over here is, of course, the notion of tefillah. Now, we know tefillah as a mitzvah saseh midaraisa because we're accustomed to the position of the Rambam. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, mitzvah saseh hey, writes, HaMitzvah chamishis yishetzivonu le'ovdo yisala. You have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in more colloquial language, in tefillah parak alav halacha alav, he writes, mitzvah saseh lispalel b'chol yom. The Ramban and other Rishonim famously disagree and do not enumerate tefillah on a daily basis as a mitzvah saseh midaraisa, one of the taryag mitzvahs. Now that's a subject in its own right, not for right now. But the Ramban, in his Hasogas, in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs in Mitzvahs Aseh Hey in 95, says that I do agree that shenispalel elav be'eis hatzoros, when there's suffering, when there's anguish, when there's calamity, then yes. And he quotes the pasuk in Parsha Balosa, Bamidbar Parak Yud pasuk Tes, b'chisavo milchama ba'artzechem. Okay, war comes, a tzar, an enemy, or some other tzara, or some other source of anguish. Then you sound the trumpets, you sound the alarms, you do daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, in other words, even the Ramban, who does not count daily tefillah among the taryag mitzvahs, agrees that when a person is in a time of need, when there's a time of suffering, an appropriate response to suffering, aside from working on Avas Hashem, aside from working on tshuva, is simply tefillah, calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I printed in 97, Lichtenstein did not quote this, wasn't printed yet, but he quoted from the Rav, but I printed it for you here in 97 from the Rishima Shiurim of Rav Salvechi Shurman Brochas in the Ha'aretz to Samacham Beis, number 4, source number 97, where basically, again, the Rav said this, and it's in print in English as well, and Rav Lichtenstein referred to it. He said, perhaps the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to what the obligation of daily tefillah is, deraisa d'rabbanan, simply is how he defined eis tzara. The Rambam, said the Rav famously, defines eis tzara back in 97. The Rambam defines eis tzara as every day, having to get up and walk and be able to breathe and talk and everything else. Whereas the Ramban defines eis tzara in the more limited sense of some great calamity, a great tragedy. But in any event, that's the Rav's insight, but in any event, the eis tzara is certainly a time to call out and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam himself, despite saying that tefillah is a daily obligation, agrees that there's a heightened obligation at a time of suffering. So in his introduction, the so-called Koseres, or Hakdoma, Tilchas Tainis, 98, he writes, what's the mitzvah? Lizok, 98, Lizok lifna Hashem, b'chol eis tzor gedola, shol tova latzibur, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's any type of tragedy. And he elaborates in this, in Halachas, in Hilchos Tainis, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he writes, Mitzvah Saseh, Mitzvah Saseh, it is a Mitzvah Saseh, Min HaTorah, Lizok Ul Haria, Chatzotzos, and while one might think that that's applicable only to a Tzibur, he writes in Halacha Tess, Kashem Shat Tzibur Mis'anim, so to a yachid, that may be drabana, may be different, but tefillah is certainly a way of responding. It's really we come to a Kodesh Baruch Hu from a position of, I want to call out to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Maharal and the Siva Sol and the Siva Voda, Perak Beis of the Ravaran quoted number 100, he says, really, that a person calls out to a Kodesh Baruch Hu out of a sense of feeling that something is missing. That's the whole idea of why we express davening. The Maharal is going into, what do I have to daven for? Doesn't a Kodesh Baruch Hu know what I want? Because Baruch knows what I want, so what's the daven for, right? And even at the daven, why can't I just think it? Okay, and it's an important piece in the Maharal, but what he says is that a person is mevakesh chesrono. You realize that you're lacking something. And so therefore, said Rav Lichtenstein, there are really three aspects to tefillah. One is the hope for help. I'm missing something. I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of a dependence. I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I realize I'm not, I can't do everything myself. As it says in Tillim, Parakuf Lamed Aleph, it's a short kapitel of Tillim, three psukim. Hashem lo gova libi. I'm not haughty. I don't have high eyes and so on. I'm being silent. Simply Yachel Yisrael Hashem. I have my hope and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one aspect of turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for in a sense of dependence and recognize that I can't do it. I hope he can help me. But then there's a second step, because sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer. Maybe we didn't daven properly. Whatever happened, we spoke about earlier, there was a tragedy that took place. So now tefillah is still appropriate, because after the calamity, I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for consolation, for comfort, to cry on somebody's shoulder. The pasuk says in Tillim, that we're looking, I can't find anybody to comfort. When you look and there's nobody to comfort you, who's there to comfort you in 103? Yeshaya Perek Nanal of Pasuk Chafalav, one of the Shevet and Achemte after Tisha B'Av, Anochi, Anochi, Umenachemchem. And the Alkut Shemoni links the two psukim together in Remez Tafayin Dal and Yeshaya 104. Right? When a person says, I find nobody to comfort me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to comfort you. And so that's a second step. That's a second relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hope, with hope to be Mamala my Chisoron, but I also turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after I've suffered and there's punishment. Okay, I want it to go away, but even if it won't, I need a shoulder to cry on, even after the tragedy has taken place. Anochi, Anochi, Menachemchem. And then, and Rav Lichtenstein talked about this at some length, he said, there's something else as well. Suffering is in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. As the Pasuk says in Tillim, Perek Tzadi Aleph, Pasuk Tezvav, Yikrein Evenehu, Imo Anochi B'tzara. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm an ach, I'm a brother to you in Tzara. I'm with you in Tzara. I'm with you in your suffering. And that's what the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin of Mem Vav Aleph, Omer of Meir 107. B'shoa Sha'odom Mitztair, Shechina, Malosh Omeris. When a person is in anguish and in pain, the Shechina itself says, my head is too heavy, my arms, I can't take it. Right? Even though the person gets the Avera, you know, it gets the punishment rather because of whatever Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain as well. And we know that after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself cries for the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Brachas Dav Gimel and Aleph, 109, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baskol says all the time, Malo La'av Shehigal Esbonav, I, the father who had to exile his children. And HaKadosh Baruch himself acknowledges in the Medrash Tanchuma and Kisetze Osir Aleph that as long as Amalek and even the world, Lo Hashem Shalva Kisei Shalem in 110, my throne is incomplete, my name is incomplete. And you hear many psukim, you know, Perikud Pesachites again of Aaron's facility with psukim. Oily Al Shivri, right? Woe is, I'm broken. And the Medrash Necha Rabbah says that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when the last Golas, when the last two tribes were exiled in 112, came and Shagol Yehuda Ben Yamin, Kaviyochalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oili Al Shivri, I'm broken. And the Psukim in Perek Tes of Yirmiyahu, we actually read 113, we actually read those Psukim as the Haftarah on Tisha B'Av morning. We have to call to the weepers to cry, and the women who know how to make lamentations to lament and so on, because if we lift up the whole city of Tzion is crying, so to speak. And the Medrash Necha Rabbah and the Psichta and Os Ches says in 114, what do you mean, who's crying? Are the wood and the stones of a city are crying? Nope. He who Shechina was in Tzion, that's who's crying. So Kadosh Baruch Hu crying. And the Psichta and Os Beis there says in Echa Rabbah in 115, Kevin Shagoli Hudu Menon Kvyochal Amo Kadosh Baruch Hu Me'ata Ein Bikoch L'Kona Aleim. I don't have the strength to weep and to lament. So you got to call the professionals to do it and to cry. And it doesn't say Aleim Aleihem. It says Aleinu. Right? Let them cry Aleinu. You look back in 113, the second Pasuk of Zion, Sisena Aleinu, Nehi, weep for us, because Baruch was included in the us, and so on. And the very other, various other midrashim give the same thing. When a Tamak, when a Tamak called Kadosh Baruch Hu says, when you try to comfort me, I can't be comforted. And again, he quotes numerous sources in Eicher Abasi about a Kadosh Baruch Hu crying and saying, now, of course, Rav Lichtenstein went into a little bit the anthropomorphic nature of this. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu cries, and wait, what, how can we say that, and so on. It's certainly against, you know, the way we philosopher will understand. But to look at the quote that the Rav once said, that it's though, you know, again, it seems to be against the notion of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no body, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries. How do we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries? But the way he put it, it's that the Klal Yisrael somehow have opted for the Medrash over the Medrash over the Moreh. In other words, yes, in a rational point of view, we have to be careful with it and so on, and the language that the Medrash kept saying is kaviyachol, as it were, but still, ultimately, we've accepted that as a means somehow of relating to it, and therefore we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as someone who suffers as well. When we're in pain, he's in pain, and even the Malachim, in Perek Lamed Gimel of Yeshaya, Pasuk Zion 124, says, even the Malachim say, Malachi Shalom Mar Yivkoyen, and again, the Maharami Prag in Baragola, Beravi Parakhes, discusses really it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu weeping. Ultimately, it's we who are weeping. And I think tries to balance the anthropomorphic problem. But the truth is, he writes, the Lichtenstein does, to this deflection of the whale from the creator to the creature, one can fully subscribe at some level. That his quintessential being is wholly immutable is beyond question. We can't talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu crying and feeling bad and changing his mind. They can't say such a thing. However, at most we can speak of an impact upon his interactive relation to the world. The point is, however, that this impact is no mirage. The effect upon the Ribbono Shel Olam's manifest presence is genuine, and hence that the grief Chazal daringly attributed to him is both real and related to an objective correlative. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, as it were, so to speak, suffers and cries with us. And that gives us also some form of comfort and some sort of succor, some sort of solace when we experience tragedy as well. It doesn't take it away, but it means that we have a shoulder to cry on who cries back. Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying also. It's a mutual kind of relationship. Just to... So really what Lichtenstein, as I understood this essay, was getting at, there are three things that shape a person's response to tragedy and to suffering. The relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avas Hashem, the greater the Avas Hashem, the more different his response to suffering will be. And Avas Hashem is something to work on many different levels. The notion of tshuva, that suffering is impetus for tshuva, and that suffering is also an impetus to tefillah. Lichtenstein concluded the talk by pointing out that there's a difference also, an important difference, when you're dealing with your own suffering and responding to your own suffering as opposed to the suffering of somebody else. He says, certainly, it's important to be sensitive to the suffering of somebody else. And the truth is, he writes, when assessing someone else's suffering, I'm not suffering. So then the emphasis is a little bit different. In his words, in this connection, I believe we should distinguish between recourse to tefillah and to tshuva. As regards the former, all three aspects that were discussed above about tefillah, again, tefillah for hope of a change, tefillah in the sense of a shoulder to cry, and tefillah of having actually a partner in your pain, all three of those things apply. All three aspects discussed above with respect to personal suffering, okay, the quest for help, a shoulder to cry on, and a covenant of anguish are very much in order even when dealing with somebody else. Moreover, there exists a reciprocal relation between prayer and others and interaction with them. On the one hand, one prays not only out of religious imperative, but rather out of an empathetic identification on the other hand. Okay, Bakoshas Rachamim, that's something with regards to tefillah that applies when somebody else is suffering. However, he goes on, the situation is somewhat different with regard to tshuva. Okay, whichever aspect of tshuva. In certain sense, there should be no difference. However, the expression of the assumption that this, in telling somebody else that they should do tshuva, is highly problematic from both a religious and a moral perspective. We recoil instinctively from assertions regarding the causal nexus between sin and suffering. It's I can talk about sin and suffering when I'm considering myself and what I need to improve. To go tell you, you underwent this suffering because this and this and this, you better fix that up. That already, he says, we recoil and so on from hearing that. There are people who do that. Okay, but a religious scene here and elsewhere is very much against that. He's fond of quoting the pasuk regarding Bilam, the donkey. Right? The pasuk in Balak says, Bilam prided himself, Yodea Das Elyon. He knew the inner knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Hamid Beis, makes fun of him and says, Yodea Das Elyon, Hasha Das Behemto Lo Havi Yodea. He didn't even know what his animal was driving at. He knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand what are we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things and don't have the right. We have the right to explore ourselves and figure out what we need to do, but not when it comes to somebody else. The Pasuk says in Eov, right, we should not make the mistake that some of Eov's friends made when trying to console him for his suffering. In Perek Dalet, Sukkim Vav and Zion, Ho, you also kiss Lasecha. Maybe there was something wrong with your fear of God, right? You know, nobody gets punished for no reason. I'm paraphrasing, right? Just translating loosely. All right. You must have done something wrong, right? That's not how we do it. That's not what we do. The Gemara says in Rabbi Tzia 130, Nun Chesam at Beis, the Gemara says, Im hayu yisurin boin alav, im hayu chaloyin boin alav, if a person experienced suffering, he experienced sickness, Oshem Mekaber is bona, he buried his children, God forbid, Al yomar lo kederach shiomar lo chaver v'le Eov. Don't say what Eov's friend to him. There must have been something you did wrong. That's not the way you do it. You can't do that with regard to somebody else. Okay, you can do it in regards to yourself. And finally, Lichtenstein noted that in the idea of commiserating with somebody's pain and even praying for somebody, it's not only Jews but non-Jews as well. We all know from Sefer Yonah, right? Universal suffering, universal pain, universal punishment, right? And they straighten themselves out, as the pasuk says, right? And they wore and they did tshuva, they wore sackcloth and so on and so forth. Okay. We have to be careful about our relations. He writes, Ninveh reminds us symbolic of our relation to universal suffering, and most of us sorely need a reminder of universal suffering. This particular calamity we're engaged in right now, so this is universal, it's Jew and non-Jew, but there are some times where things happen, and Lichtenstein spoke about those things, Bismanum, you know, whatever tragedy, which had nothing to do directly with Klal Yisrael, Jewish people per se, with an earthquake here and a tsunami there. And so we know how the Jewish people responded, how the Israelis responded with sending doctors and so on and so forth and aid. But we need a reminder from time to time. Okay, the ethnic factor is of little moment on a philosophical level. In dealing with theodicy, whether Eov was Jewish, Gentile, or fictional is wholly irrelevant. Okay. However, Rav Lichtenstein does say that we have our responsibility as Jews, and with this we'll finish. And he pointed in conclusion, in ending, he referred to the Pesukim of Ashrei, Tehillim Parakuf Mem Hei, source 132. Right? Tov Hashem Lakol, Beracham Aval Kol Masov. Kadosh Baruch Hu is good to all and is merciful to all creatures. And the Pasuk Tesvav, Ein Echol Eilech Yisaberu. The eyes of all turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'atana Sein Lamesach Lam Bito, you provide with their needs. On the other hand, as Jews, we're cognizant of that as well, and this really relates to our issue, the three things we mentioned. Korov Hashem lechol korov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is especially close with those who call him, okay, who turn to him. Lechol Hashem korov ames, turn to him in actual truth. Ritzon Yirei Avyaseh, right? Korov Hashem lechol korov, means do tshuva, you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you call out. And Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, and Veshavosam Yishma B'Yoshiyim, he'll hear their tefillos and protect them. And finally, in Chof, Shomar Hashem is called Ohavov. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a special protection for those whom he loves, going back full circle to the idea of Avas Hashem. These are some of the points that Lichtenstein stressed, difficult though they are, and they're difficult to put into practical behavior, I acknowledge, and I'll read the concluding words of a Lichtenstein essay. In conclusion, I return to the sinking feeling that much of what has been said here may fall upon deaf ears. In a scientific age, any linkage of suffering to sin, even as an instrument of repentance, may seem both hollow and naive. Any attempt to cry up the purgative nature of suffering may be viewed, especially after the Holocaust, as trite, platitudinous, and what is worse, callous. Many now will have no truck with the uses of adversity and brand reference to the crucible of pain as insensitive. He acknowledges that. And he even says, I can understand this reaction and indeed up to a point share it, but only up to a point. Ultimately, there is no denying the fact that dissonant as these responses are to many modern ears, they are the essence of Yahadus's traditional reaction to suffering on the speculative, pragmatic, and therapeutic level. That they sound empty or unpalatable to some brings us back to a central point. Response to suffering cannot be divorced from the totality of religious experience, and the ability to integrate religious solutions is a function of the totality of faith and commitment. And that's the challenge that we have. He says, in such a context, the key to confronting suffering in a Jewish way lies beyond formulae relating to the realm of suffering. It entails reaffirmation of one's fundamental yahadus, of one's fundamental Judaism. That's the thoughts of Rav Lichtenstein in a response to suffering. As I said at the outset, food for thought, challenging, requires more thinking. Anyone who'd like the Marmar Kamos, you can print them out. If you'd like me to send them out, happy to. And I urge you to read the article in the original. I could not even hope to say in any way similar to where Rav Lichtenstein suggests. It's Leaves of Faith, Volume 2, Chapter 5, has this essay. I think that as we observe the fifth yahrzeit of this towering intellect, this great Rosh Hashiva, first and foremost, this great Talmud Chacham, again, it was a privilege to know him. And you know, one thing Rav Lichtenstein, what he said, he felt, and he meant, and he lived it. And he was a person who you saw the Avas Hashem exuded from him. The notion you have to do tshuva, I never knew what he did wrong, but with the notion of the tshuva, he spoke about it in such a passionate way, you felt that he meant it. And of course, his tefillah, with those of us who were in the Beis Medrash, and I see on the screen, people who are from Chaverim and Chavrusim, we saw him davening, you saw a person on a different plane of existence. He lived this. And Rav Lichtenstein undoubtedly underwent suffering in his life on a personal level and was deeply moved by communal suffering, the suffering of Jews and of non-Jews alike. And was able to deal with it by this kind of formulation. I hope that this shiur in some small way will be Lila Nishmoso. Yehi Zichro Baruch. I thank you all for listening. I don't mind if somebody wants my son is managing, so you can unmute people if people want to talk up, and we can end the recording. Wish everybody a good evening, and thank you for joining us.